Today is a beautiful spring day. It's the day after Akshaya Tritiya. What is Akshaya Tritiya? It's a special day. Yesterday. It's a day for starting new projects. Did anyone here start a new project yesterday? Even if you did, you wouldn't tell me, right? So, thank you all for coming. I'm amazed. It's always so nice to be here. Such enthusiasm. Today, another practical point. I plan to show some images, and this is kind of the main thing. So those of you who are way over in the corners, unless you have special mystic powers of seeing around corners, you might want to move. Yeah, sitting behind a pillar is also not recommended. So feel free to shift, and if the person next to you is in the way, just push them. This is how it's done in India. In India, people just... Yeah. There's some space right here in front, and you can also make yourselves a bit smaller. Just shrink yourself to 90% your size. We do it all the time. Also a special art in India. When the bus is completely full, there's not room for even one more person, then 15 more people get on the bus. Okay, as we announced, I believe, our subject is avatar art. And we're not supposed to be promoting any books from here other than Srila Prabhupada's books. So I'll say that I'm promoting Srila Prabhupada's books in a slightly indirect way through the art which has been painted by so many different artists and has been collected into this one book called Avatar Art that has been some time ago, not so recently, published. I don't know if it's available in our shop here, but if it's not, it would be nice to be available. It was compiled by my Guru Bhai, my godbrother, Satyaraj Prabhu, and I think it's very nice what he's done. And the PowerPoint has been compiled by our Sharada Tilaka, Devi Dasi. She put it all so to make it presentable for us. Some of the images are not as sharp as I would like, but that's life in the technical world. But for our purpose, yeah, it may serve its purpose. I think that's so. So what do we want to talk about? Just showing so many pictures is not the essential thing, but to reflect about our visual culture. On the one side, we emphasize a lot hearing, isn't it? How many times we've heard it's all about hearing spiritual sound. And this is certainly a fact. This is not to be minimized. If there's no other sense power that we have, if we can hear, this can bring us to perfection of spiritual life. Having said that, we are very visually oriented. We who are privileged to have our physical sight, we can we see not only nature around us, but we see culture around us. And one kind of culture is visual culture. And this visual culture is very much celebrated in our Vaishnava Krishna consciousness tradition, especially in the form of the deity. And so we all come here to the temple, and in the temple, whose temple is it? Well, we here understand that this temple is Sri Sri Pancha Tattva's temple. It's the temple of not one, not two, not three, not four, but five divinities, five in one. And so we come to see them. We say to have darshan. Darshan means seeing. In two senses, one is the physical sense, seeing, and the other is understanding. I think I've talked about this sometimes before here, that in English, you can be explaining some point, maybe a philosophical point, to a friend, and then after you've made your point, you might say, "Do you see what I mean?" And the person will say, "I have no clue what you're saying." "No, I don't see." Do you have that expression in Slovenian? "Do you see what I mean?" It's about seeing, but it's about understanding, right? And so what we find is that our seeing is not just a matter of physical seeing. It's about also registering meaning. And that's what we also do when we look at a picture, a painting, an image of any sort. But in particular, when we're looking at pictures, paintings, we have so many around the temple room here, we are seeing also meaning. There is meaning to these images. And they are meaningful to us, so that if someone visits us who has never been in a Krishna temple before and has absolutely no idea about our tradition, anything, we can explain to them. So many, we can say, "This is Krishna, this is Radha, these are the gopis." "Oh, who is Krishna? Who is Radha? Who are the gopis?" Okay, let's explain. Back up. And we may have to do some further explanation. And you can, if you get into it, you could take probably a long time explaining one picture. I think many of you could spend an hour explaining this picture of Radha, Krishna, and the gopis if you were challenged to do so. I think you could. What do you think? Yeah. Some of you are saying, I don't know. Srila Prabhupada, who, as most, if not all of you know, translated so many works of the Vedic tradition, or what scholars would call post-Vedic tradition, was very eager to have his books illustrated. Very eager, so much so that ideally, I believe one time he expressed like this, that he would like every other page to have an illustration. Yeah. And we could say something more about the some of the adventures of the artists in ISKCON. But one perhaps point to make, which I find quite intriguing, quite interesting, is that so much of the paintings of devotees of our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, have become so popular that you find them printed in so many different ways, in India especially. But many of these paintings, I think this particular painting of Yashoda Damodar, for example, you'll find this in so many places. Our publishing branch of ISKCON, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, has an office which its purpose, or one of its purposes, is to care for the copyrights of the publishing. And one of the things that they have tried to do in the past, I think by now they've kind of given up, but they were trying to chase after all unauthorized printing of the paintings from Prabhupada's books and making legal cases. But I think they must have realized it's hopeless. And in any case, what's the problem? Let everyone see Krishna in all these different forms, right? That's what I would say. My point being that not only did Srila Prabhupada want his books illustrated, but the devotees who have or have had, some of them are no longer with us, but who have had painting art talents, really showed such talent that the sense comes for many who see the books, yes, Krishna is for real. There's a kind of fresh sense. Yes, Krishna is for real. Krishna, you can see Krishna. And so Srila Prabhupada one time, if not more than once, confirmed, said, do you want to know what Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said these paintings are windows into the spiritual world. Windows into the spiritual world. Now, we look out the window here and, well, it's not a very wonderful scene, at least to my vision, my conditioned vision. But if you had a window that opened out into the spiritual world, wouldn't you be inspired to not just look through the window, but to actually go there? Where's the door? I want to go out and go into the spiritual world, right? Yes? No? Yes. So this is the idea of these paintings. Now, some people, they are, you know, very learned in fine arts. They will look at the paintings of our society and they will say, ah, such kitsch.
Ha 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 ha.
Is that a Slovenian word also?
Yes.
Kitsch. Yeah. To which I would just say, ah, you do not have the eyes to see. So anyway, I'm talking and talking, but okay, Srila Prabhupada said, the greatest art is to understand Krishna, to see the artistic hand of Krishna everywhere. And I think this is such an amazing comment to reflect on, to see the artistic hand of Krishna everywhere. Huh? This is the greatest art, is to understand this point. And so what we aspire to do with respect to seeing is to see Krishna. And seeing Krishna means seeing the hand of, the artistic hand of Krishna in everything. What a vision that would be. Especially when we see things which strike us not as beautiful, but as not beautiful, or maybe as horrible, or whatever. To see the artistic hand of the Lord. Well, we start with a painting of Srila Prabhupada, and I'm happy that Satyaraj Prabhu, who has compiled all of these paintings, has given us the name of the artist and the year when it was painted. So many of these, actually, we're not going to see very many. I'm watching the clock. Are from the 1980s, so they're already quite some, yeah, three, even four decades old. When I first saw this painting, I thought, it's a photograph. Well, it's taken from a photograph. It was a photograph made in Surat when Srila Prabhupada visited there and was received with super honors, including this silver throne and so on. But here, I think, is for us just to appreciate the sense of presence that an artist may be able to communicate through the brush and the paint. So I like this. Do we have any artists here? Don't be shy. Yes, I see some are pointing to you. Yeah. No. Yes. So I, yes, also good. I am in the category of the frustrated non-artist who's, one of my grandmothers was an artist. She was, you know, okay, she was amateur, but well, she would paint nice still lives and country scenes. So I would try to imitate, but didn't work. So, but I can admire others' painting. Incidentally, it is said, it has been said, by one art critic that when you go to an art museum, how many of you have been to an art museum in the last 2 years? Ah, huh. We have some culture here. Sorry. No, I get in trouble myself. It's been said by one art critic that the best thing to do when you go to an art museum is to sit down. You may need to take a portable seat. Sit down in front of one painting. Maximum two paintings. Don't go, you know, okay, now I've seen this one, and then that one, and then, oh, what's this, oh, what's that, oh, what's this, what that. And then you go to the souvenir shop. Means we haven't seen anything, right? Anyway, we can now go to look through the window at the transcendental spaceman, Narada Muni. Imagine, if you will, I don't know if we can imagine this, imagine that Narada Muni would show up here today and walk in the temple room. Would we recognize him?
Probably.
That was a very probable answer. Or should I say an improbable answer?
If he would come like this.
If he would come in his proper form, he'd say, if he came and someone asked him, who are you? And he said, Narada Muni. And he'd say, no, you don't look like Narada Muni. This is how Narada looks. I'm getting a little bit silly. Or we would ask, yes, so where's your vina? This is not the first painting of Narada that those of us who were joining the movement in the 70s saw. But I don't know. What do you think? Is it a convincing painting? Yeah? I have to admit, I find it a little difficult. I wonder how he plays that vina while he's floating. Have you ever seen a vina? They're really big instruments. I guess he's very big. But he's in outer space. And he seems to be quite free. And I think this is the point for us, or one of the points, one of the messages of the painting. The sage is someone who is free, someone who is not restricted in all the ways that we are restricted with our material bodies. But, of course, just looking at such an image, we might not have much appreciation. And therefore, we understand, if we know the story of Narada, which is given in First Canto Bhagavatam, how he became Narada, if we know about how he teaches in several places in the Bhagavatam, all of these aspects, the narrative, the story of him and his teachings, can help us to appreciate the image of him. And then, the other way around, we can look at the image and we can think back about who is this person and what does he represent, what does he teach. And so, this becomes a impetus, it becomes a prompt of our memory. And one of the students of Narada Muni is Prahlad Maharaj. And what does Prahlad teach? One thing he teaches to his father, something his father was not very happy to hear, is that there are 9 processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Vishnu Smaranam is the 3rd of the 9. Remembering Vishnu or Krishna. And there's different ways that we remember. And one of the ways we can remember is our vision, through pictures. You can actually invoke memories of images in your mind. Have you noticed? We can do that. So this becomes a very nice way to remember Krishna and his devotees. So we'll be testing you, whether you can remember this image of Narada tomorrow morning. A message will come on your WhatsApp. Did you remember Narada? These initial images come before the avatars as such, because first we get the story of how the Bhagavatam comes about. And as most of you know, the Bhagavatam begins with a problem, and the problem was that a certain king named Maharaj Parikshit has been cursed. And what's the curse? The curse is that he should die after 7 days and 7 nights. And how should he die? By being bitten by a certain poisonous snake bird. And that is being illustrated here. It's a quite active image, I would say. There's a lot happening in this painting. Of course, the central focus is on the king, Parikshit, who is in the midst of this fire. And he seems to be quite happy to be there. And this is the point, that by the time he has heard all of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all 12, not all 12 cantos, because he departs before the end of the 12th canto, but all of the 11 cantos plus, I forget now, 3 chapters of the 12th canto, he's ready to go. He's ready to make a move. So much so that the Bhagavatam describes, by the time this, what's his name, Takshaka? By the time he shows up to do what's been, to fulfill the curse, the only thing left of the king is his body. Maharaj Parikshit himself has already left. He left his body just before this happens, what we see here. So he's actually not present in this picture. So that's an interesting thing to contemplate as we think about what do we see. And we might want to think back to the whole subject of what it means when Srila Prabhupada says, you are not this body. Ah! How many times have I heard that and not believed it? Or even if I think I believe it. Now, this goes back in time because the previous image is an illustration of what happens almost at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What's happening here is described in, I think it's chapter 17 of the first canto. And this, you can say, is very much illustrative in the sense that there's two parts of this painting. You see on the left, actually there's within the left part, there's four parts. There are illustrations of the four kinds of degradation of the age of Kali, right? So there's the degradation of illicit sexual activity in the top left, and then there's degradation of gambling to the right, and then there's someone drinking and smoking, so the intoxication. And then there's animal slaughter, meat eating on the bottom left. All of that illustrating what is the problem that's going to come in the age of Kali that Maharaj Parikshit could have prevented if he had just killed this personified Kali. He has his sword. He's about to slice off Kali's head. But what happens? Kali throws himself at the king's feet. He says, "I surrender to you." When someone surrenders to the king, to a kshatriya, the kshatriya is duty-bound to give protection to that person. So now he has to give protection to Kali. And so here we are. Hare Krishna. So you could say just in this one painting there's quite some story there. The cow who has been seriously wounded is on the right, or the bull, the cow and the bull, and so on. But it's very illustrative. You might say it's not fine art in a sense that a modern art critic might appreciate, but it's okay. It's an illustration which we can then engage in our practice of Krishna Bhakti by remembering the story that this is illustrating and reflecting what is the significance of this to me. Oh, my time's up.
On some special occasions like today.
Sometimes we give 3 minutes more.
Permission from far above.
From on high.
Yes. We can extend the class a little bit longer. For about 15 to 20 minutes. Max.
So good. Note the notice the emphasis on the word max. Hare Krishna. Maybe I should stop there. Shall we look at one more painting? Okay, one more painting. Very different style. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not mentioning the artists. This is Anjana Das. Oh, whoops. What happened? Somehow not fitting this time. So I'm not sure. Okay. Paolo Tomasetti. Okay. Okay, we don't have full information there, but let's go to one more. This is very different style by Ramdas, Abhiram Das, who painted this in 1984. And this is showing Shukadev Goswami with Maharaj Parikshit approaching him for his request. He has been cursed. Now, please tell me what I should do. I'm about to die. What's the duty of someone who's about to die? That's what I want to know. And Shukadeva is... He obliges. He says, yes, okay. He sits down, and for 7 days, seven nights, no eating, no sleeping, he recites the Bhagavatam. So we are told. And I like this painting for the mood that it gives of shanti. It's a very peaceful kind of mood. And it's a mood that I feel like it's a mood inviting one to listen. The mind is having a, you know, it's having a hardcore music session going on in the brain or whatever. And it's tending, our minds tend to be endlessly distracted. Yoga, of course, is about focusing the mind and specifically giving attention to higher wisdom, such as the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so that's the idea that I think is nicely communicated in this painting. So it's a mood that's being communicated. It's not just this figure, that figure, this tree, those figures. It's this river, Ganga. I never know for sure, is it the Ganga or the Yamuna? But it doesn't really matter in this context. There's a mood that's conveyed, which is very nice. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And so we can remember this image, this picture, this painting, and recall, and then we can, from that memory, we can feel inspired, invited into the words which Shukadeva Goswami speaks. And this, if we are then having such a receptive mood, and those words, even though spoken ages and ages ago, they can reach us, they can touch us, they can illuminate us. Hare Krishna. So this is just, the whole book has, I don't know, more than 100 paintings, so I won't keep you. Maybe we can do more another time. I don't know. Was this a good, interesting? We can maybe explore in another time some more of the images. And we can also discuss. It's a very interesting way to have discussions also when you're having smaller groups, Namhatta, Bhakti Vriksha, and so on. You can... have this as a prompting for discussion. What is it that this painting makes you think or feel? Right. Are we okay? but maybe there's a comment or a reflection, anything you want to share, any ideas we can discuss briefly. And then what happens? Shishi Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. Arti's already going on. Uh-oh. Please forgive us, Shishi Pancha Tattva. comments, reflections, question? Moksha Rupi, you look like you have something. No?
I was just wondering about these paintings. They were mostly from the 80s?
They're mainly from earlier. I haven't gone through the whole set to look, but I know there was a kind of busy period in the early 80s. There was a time when the painters in America apparently decided that they should go to Italy because all the famous Renaissance painters were in Italy, so they wanted to go and see, you know, not just prints and copies, and but to see the originals. And so they were going, I think they were especially going to Florence to see, and then suddenly we saw lots of paintings that had, you know, made one, reminded one of some Italian Renaissance style. So that was there for a period. There's been some different trends over the years. And that may be a subject of study someday for someone, art historian. Yeah, there's, of course, now there could very well be quite a change because I saw an illustration. Someone had used artificial intelligence to create a painting, and the painting was amazing. All they did was type in, I think they wanted to show, I saw it was, they wanted an illustration of Matsya Avatar and the ship, you know. So he just typed in a few things to specify, this is what I want, and boom, there it is, which I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that. Maybe I can become a famous artist now just by using artificial intelligence and not tell anyone. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, so much for the lecture. I've never heard such a lecture, so I'm very, very grateful for that.
My question is, how should we approach to non-Krishna conscious art? Like, how should we have a relationship with that?
Interesting. I don't know if it's possible to generalize. Modern art, postmodern art, postmodern art. I remember some years ago in the news, one artist, I think in America, had made as an art happening to somehow he got this big skyscraper building. I don't know if it was in New York, it was in some city. A big building, 10, 12 stories tall. And he completely covered it in plastic. That was his art. Hare Krishna, sorry. And everyone is, wow, that's really profound.
Was there a social commentary to that?
There was probably lots of commentary by a lot of people, especially the people who had to live or work in the building. We can't breathe. I don't know. I appreciate a lot of art. Sometimes I visit when I'm in Oxford, I like to go to the Ashmolean Museum, which has not just graphic art, but sculpture and many things going back into ancient times. It's a quite first-class museum. Sometimes I just like to go and appreciate, because where is that? I like to think, yes, who is behind all of this? Krishna. Krishna is the original artist. But, and Krishna has given this skill, and Krishna has given this intelligence. And it's powerful, it's attractive, it can move. If it is moving, we could say our criteria in general for anything, does it move me toward Krishna? Or does it move me away from material, mundane thinking or orientation? And all sorts of art can actually do that if we look thoughtfully. So I personally wouldn't shut out art just because it's not a painting of Krishna, for example. You know, Vincent van Gogh painted sunflowers. And we could say, what's the point? Or we can say, wow, he really got something there about this sunflower. What is it that makes this sunflower, in some sense, feel even more real than a so-called real sunflower? Like that, you may be able to reflect. And then to reflect, oh, yes, it is Krishna's sunflower, so it's his art. And now here, another artist, okay, you can minimize and say he's just imitating Krishna's art. But Krishna has given that person also this capability to do this art. So that's kind of double art of Krishna. Does that make sense? As for buildings covered with plastic, it doesn't move me so much, but maybe that's the point of that art also, is to say, what are we doing? We're building these big buildings. Maybe we should just wrap them up in plastic and get rid of them. Yeah. Yes. Microphone.
Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could look this from other point of view. It's not art, it's message to us.
Mm.
Some pictures and this art. So maybe this message was, there's too much plastic in the world, so. Or some protest message.
Yeah, there's, of course, a lot of art has some sort of message trying to communicate, and that's fine. That's nice, that's good.
Even this sunflower, I think so.
Even the sunflower, yes. Sunflower without plastic. Some art becomes extremely controversial. And then it comes in the news, and everyone's talking about it. That's another subject. I won't get into that. Yes.
Can I just give a comment?
Please.
If I may say, like usually when we look at the art, it's not just that we look this picture, okay, what's in the picture, but also like who made it, what was his life like, who is the person who ordered this art, for which purpose it's. So it's like usually when we watch the movie, for example, it's like the whole series of 1.5 hours, but when we look at the picture, we sometimes think, wow, it's just one moment, but the real question is how much time we should look at the picture. One moment or also like the movie, 1.5 hours. So.
Ah, yes. Thank you. That's a nice point. No, it's true. Of course, that's what art historians do especially. They explore the whole life of the artist and the social circumstances in which the artist is writing, is painting, and what were his or her economic conditions, and as you said, who is the patron, the sponsor, so many things. There are many ways to view a painting. We can say like that. But I guess for our context here, what I want to suggest again is I like this little phrase that Srila Prabhupada made, that these paintings can be windows into the spiritual world. I think, gosh, maybe I should take advantage of these windows. And this brings up another point. You have all been seeing these paintings now since they've been here, which I think has been some years for most of them. And after a while, you don't really look at them, right? You've kind of seen, and it just, they kind of go into the background of your awareness. So it's also an interesting challenge to refresh the vision. Can I see this painting, so to say, again for the first time, as if I'm seeing for the first time? Can I see it in a fresh way? Hare Krishna. Thank you all. Thank you all very much for your kind, patient attention. And thank you all for coming, and have a wonderful rest of the program. And I'm sorry I kept going, and the RT is almost over.